butter chicken in the middle. Vanita Matsura La Yira Shirosema Gnuchamahata. The Adrita is a remez. Don't stop for Shabbos. I feel the Shabbat.
What does this expression mean, sir?
Sorry? Beseeching. Beseech the city. The city into siege. So again, he's going to be very nervous, even if he's not actually fighting. Again, we have the same discussions as before. Question of putting yourself into Matzav Sakrona, according to the Rasa. Amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Noagim hayuve. Okay, we had a minute that we wouldn't give our clothes in for 3 days if they were white clothing. 3 days before Shabbos. Again, reason being, we have over here the issue of Amir Liakul. It's looked at as if he's doing a shrikas for me, or he's supposed to avoid a situation in which it will be Yeyasim Melacha. So Tanya Omer Rabbi Tzadok, and the bride of Rabbi Tzadok explains more clearly that Kachayam in Agosha Beit Rabban Gamliel, Shayu Notnim Klei Lavan Lekovesh Loshayamim Kodem Neshabbat, they would give white clothing 3 days earlier, Vitzruin Afilu Be'erev Shabbat, but colored clothes, they weren't mocked, but they would give it an even on Erev Shabbat. Umidibrehem Lamadnu. And you can learn something very important if you're a yeshiva guy who never tried washing his clothes. You can discover from this, Shahalavanim Kashim Lechapsan Yoter Mitatzvuim. You see, it's harder to clean white clothing than it is to clean colored clothing, which will make a tremendous nafkamina, because when you bring your laundry in to the cleaners and they give you a bill, and they tell you it's the same price no matter what, that's when you know you're being cheated. That's what happened to Abaya. The Abaya went to take in his laundry. Abaya, he was giving a colored garment, Lakatsra, to the laundryman. What's the price going to be? So the guy tells him, what do you mean? You know what the price is? You're always giving me your shirts, your white shirts. You know, it took a while for a buyer to get up the guts to wear that colored shirt. But once he did, he bought it and said, okay, you've always been wearing white shirts. You know what the price is? Oh, my lace, the buyer said to him, oh, no. The Rabbanan got here before you. I already know it's not the same price. Also, through his own bitter experiences with this cleaner, this is not a cleaner you'd want to go to, a buyer also gives us some practical advice. That high man the yoy mona lakatsa, if you're giving in something to be dry cleaned, measure it before you give it in and measure it when you get it out. The mashka native labor mashkom the nishkom, the itafi, if it's too long, there goes your suit, the matze, because the guy has stretched it out. The butcher, and if it's too short, afsve. No, but Kafti put into hot water, the idiot, and now it's shrunk. And that's his responsibility. So, back to the halachic consideration.
I know.
Yeah, the Rishon. In the old laundromat, remember?
Yeah.
Kalman's laundromat, Shlomo Seidman.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be this Shiloh would come up quite often. Now, the question is, for some reason, after a long list of things that we found machlokas in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as to what you could do on Erev Shabbat, when it came to this one thing, that the Korot Beit Abad and the Gulei Adat, there everybody was muttered that there was no problem. And Beit Shammai was matir, you're putting on the weights on the press before Shabbos. Why? Mashna kulu the gazu beit shemai, mashna korot beit abad, v'igulei agad, the lo gazu. What is different about this malacha of schita? That's a real malacha. Why didn't he aser it? Because v'igulei agad, it's basically the same thing, except that they used over their round thing that they screwed in. Press the pressure on. Sahana the Abid Lubi Shabbat Mechayev Chatas Gozrubu Beit Shammai. Clearly, the point is this. Only those things which are an issue of the Oraisa to do on Shabbos proper, Beit Shammai was Gozer not to do them before Shabbat, then to continue on Shabbat. We're afraid that you're going to do it on Shabbat itself. So he was goes to Erev Shabbos Simcha Sheikha. Korot Beit Abad, Nigulei Agad, where even if the Avi will be Shabbos from the Kayak Katas, over there, even if you would do it on Shabbat proper, you wouldn't be Chayav Chatatas. We'll see in a moment why. Logazruk. Now clearly, what's happening over here is the fact that the olives or the grapes had been crushed before Shabbos is the reason why, if it's done on Shabbos, to increase the pressure on it, apparently this Tana holds that there would be no Isser D'oraisa of Shechita once the breakdown of the cellular walls that are holding the mashke in place, once that takes place. That's just a question of time, really. Certainly you can increase the rapidity of this by putting weight on it, but that's not a malacha. The malacha has basically been achieved. So who is this Tana? Man Tana, to call me the Da'ati Mamela Shabbatan. Who is the Tana that seems to hold that once you've done the work, the continued flow of the liquid, even if you want to increase it by adding pressure, is not really considered to be a malacha? Who's that man beyond? Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, it's clearly Rabbi Yishma, it's none. Hashum, Ba'boser, Ba'melilot, Shirizkan Miva'od Yom. They would take garlic or unripe grapes or Melilot, which is the actual grain itself, and they would take these are not quite ripe grains, they would crush them in order to get a liquid from it, which was a very tangy liquid, all three of these things, to dip. And they were always searching for interesting kind of dips, and this was a dip. Okay? You crush it, Mibod Yom, and there's no problem, because Rabbi Yishmael says, Yigmor Mishetech Hashem. You can let it, now Rashman's Yigmor means, you can set it up so that it flows and completes the work on Shabbat. And Rabbi Akiva says, Lo Yigmor, you can't. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosis is very bothered by this. Because in advance, that means we're talking a little bit of Beit Shammai. Rabbi Akiva is going like Beit Shammai? What do I understand? I mean, why would we think such a thing? And why would we think that the machlokas then has anything to do with whether an asim amela? It's just he's telling Barney Bakes a little bit smoother. Not because asim amela is okay to do on Shabbos, but because he's going to leave the Beitzel, Rabbi Yishmael, and he's saying, well, it says in the Mishnah, Beitzel was in Gezer, so there's no problem being Gezer. What does this have to do with the question that we're asking? Therefore, Tosfos says, it doesn't mean Yigmar to let it complete. That's not the question. Of course, you let it completely pass by Beitzel. Question over here is Yigmar to use it. Because if you have liquid that is in fact squeezed out on Shabbos, we don't allow you to use it. Because we're afraid that you come l'chatchila to squeeze. So since over here we're not afraid that you come l'chatchila to squeeze, it means that there would be no issur in squeezing. No issur d'oraisa in squeezing. Let's say the guy wants a little bit more dip. He goes back to his grapes, his boser grapes, and he crushes them. More, squeezes them. We wouldn't really be doing this to the Raisa. Why? Must be, because Rabbi Shimon Moses was already crushed from before Shabbos. Not in this to the Raisa. Because if it would be, we have our standard Mashkin Hazovim Gezeira, as everybody knows. If things just flow out of a fruit where the norm is that I use those Mashkin of this type of fruit, I use that type of Mashkin for drinking, I'm not allowed to drink it on Shabbos, even if it happened on its own by accident. Therefore, in this case, we're bringing a raya, very simple chances, does it? We're bringing a raya that if you're telling me I'm allowed to finish it and use it in my salad, clearly there's no issur, even if I were to come to squeeze it. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, nothing to do with the machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Why in the world would we think that Rabbi Akiva was talking about somebody who was only usher, according to Beit Shammai? Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar's suggestion, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, Rabbi Elazar the Amora, that actually this is going according to Rabbi Elazar. This is, of course, is Rabbi Elazar the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So, and how does he paskin that has impact on this? Yet it's not. Chalot Dvash, Rizkan Be'erev Shabbat, we have the same problem of a kaveret, in which we crush the cells of the wax in order to remove the honey. So he says that in a case where you crushed the kaveret on Erev Shabbos, and the honey continues to flow, v'atzumi atzmam asur, you're not allowed to use that honey. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, the Tana is matzah. So apparently he holds that because the work essentially was done before, so I don't have any problem in taking this honey. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, why didn't he want to say that? That sounds pretty good to me. My time of the Ramak, Rabbi Elazar, why didn't you say this is the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar? No, I'm going to thought. That's a tremendous difference. Over there, Dvash, before and after, is always called ochli. It's a food stuff. The derech is to use it as a food. You don't drink dvash. You basically make it part of your food. So hatamu de mikara ochel besof ochel. Whereas harcha mikara ochel v'hashta mashke. Over here, it's very different because it becomes a mashke. And therefore, perhaps in this case, even Rabbi Elazar wouldn't have been matir. Says Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, big deal. Hashamini leila Rabbi Elazar dafilu zeitim v'anavim namishari. Certainly the most mashke of all mashkes is wine and oil. And we know in the Braita that Rabbi Elazar was matir, a similar case of zeitim v'anavim. And therefore, clearly, he is the one who is the author of our Mishnah, according to whom Beit Shammai would not be gozer even on Zeitim v'Anavim. Da'akiyata Rav Oshia min Arda, when Rav Oshia came from the Arda, atavaitim atnita biyadei, he brought the following bright along with him. Zeitim v'Anavim, shirizkan mi'erev Shabbat. You crushed them up on Erev Shabbat, v'yatzu mi'atzman asurin. According to the Tanakhaba, it's also Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Matirin. They hold that once you did the work already before, the continued mashke that comes from it is mutter. So clearly, according to them, in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai wouldn't be gozer. Hey, that's pretty darn good, Lamaisani. How could Rabbi Yosef Rav Hanina take exception to that? You got a clear-cut bright that essentially says the Mishnah. I mean, what is he looking around to try to find somebody? Bachlokas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shwamet, yeah. Beferish about the very same thing we're talking about. Zeitim v'anavim. Yeah, well, the only thing is, he never heard that bright. But, I mean, if he had, of course, that's what he would have quoted. Rabbi Yosef Rav Hanina, bright alo shmiali. I mean, obviously, that bright that came only from Rav Oshaya, I mean, but he came from Narada. I mean, he wasn't, simply wasn't aware of that right. And what exactly did Rabbi Elazar have against Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina's approach? My time of the Amrit Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, the whole approach is wrong. La vidma Allah, Omar Rabba Bar Chanina, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bimbukusarim Dika. Look, you know, you take it in a very naive way. If you want to look at it in all of its details, and don't be so simplistic, you'll see that it doesn't apply. Because, and this is exactly why Rabbi Elazar didn't want to say that that's the pshat. Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying that the machlokas of Rabbi Yishmael over there with Rabbi Akiva is not so simple. The mukhasarim dika, the kulei amalo pligi, the pligi the mukhasarim shechika, where you have a case where you have not yet done the dika. Now there's really three levels. There's risuk, which is what we were talking about, which is basically to break them down into pieces. But I say, there's dika, which is to crush and to really press them out. And then you also go ahead now and you're shochek, you rub them down. Now, in our case over here, where they were talking about the shum or the mililot, if they had not yet had dika done to them, you were only marasik then, Rabbi Yishmael was never matir in that case, for sure. Ki pligim in b'chusarim shechika. The only question was, yeah, they've already gone through two stages. It was marasik then, it was medake then, I wasn't sure. Okay, so now going on, what's your concern? The way Tosfos is learning, what's your concern? Now you're going to turn around and you'll be shochet to get the rest of the juice out more quickly. There is where Rabbi Yishuv was matching. So, but the problem is that in the Mishnah, the case of the Zeitim Va'anavim with the eagle and with the korot is an equivalent case to Mechusarim Dika. Now, what's interesting is
that Rabbi Yishuv would answer,
which I think he would have answered. There's a big machlokas we've shown him how to learn the totsaot of this. Are they arguing in whether that's so? In other words, if you don't agree with Rabbi Yochanan, if I claim that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yishmael, then I disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. Is that the point? That's no deal I love. But it's a very interesting Ramban. This is not. This is beautiful chat. The question is how to look at it. We have three stages. We have Risuk, Dika, Shechita. The point is, however, that when it comes to the cases of the olives and the grapes, there is no Dika and Shechita. There's just the original Risuk. And then you have the Te'ina. The Te'ina is the equivalent of both of it. That's all. It does the rest of it. There's no separate Pu'ula. So the question is, he's learning that it's similar to Rabbi Yochanan's pshat because it's only missing one stage. Whereas Rabbi Elazar is saying, but only had one stage. So therefore it's similar to Rabbi Yochanan saying that he wouldn't have been matir. That's all. The shaila is, was Rabbi Yochanan saying, we're going to be matir the possibility of the last stage? Or he's saying, well, if you already did two stages to get where you're at, then he's saying Rabbi Shmuel won't be mad. But Meikra did everybody's motive to what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Hora Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yishmael. So that it's mutter in a case, again, that depends on how we learn what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. Now, Shemen shall badadin, umachatzalot shall badadin. What they used to do is they would allow the owner of the bad, as part of his schar for doing the work for you, was that he got to keep any oil that was left aside in the edges of the vat. And so Mamela, that part is like a tip that's left for him. And the machatzalot are the
bags for stuff.
They're like bags, yeah, of the badadim. Now, what's the Shiloh of your Bichlam? What are we talking about in the Gabi 1? Rav Asar v'Shmuel Shari. Rashi learns Rav Asar in terms of Mukta. And why in the world are we bringing up Mukta here? We never even dreamt of talking about Mukta before. Says Rashi, well, once we're talking about Beit Abad already, might as well go all the way. You know, tell you about the Mukta and the Beit Abad. Tosfos says that sounds like you're stretching it pretty much to me. Besides which, Tainus Tosfos, why should the... Usually this is your uptime.
Yeah, usually. I don't know what happened.
Gee. We're telling you, we know the schedule pretty good sleeping for feeding times.
What's more left to think about?
Yeah. So the Tosfos says, the Shemen Shabbat, why in the world would it be Mukta? I say, what, because I leave it for the badads? Why does that make a mukta? He disagrees with Rashi's Hanakha. He says, again, we're talking about the Shemen of Badadin that comes out in this fashion. And the Shaila is, it would leave it over Shabbos. So the question is whether that Shemen was mukta because it's like Naila. It's Nageya, our Sudya. Do you hold that the oil is already for all intents and purposes out on Shabbos? Or is it really that it appears only now, and therefore it's us or because of Nolad? Once we bring up Nolad, now I understand we can talk about Mukta, because Mukta and Nolad are very similar. Nolad is a case in which something did not exist in its current form on Shabbat at all. And therefore we say that it's considered to be the equivalent of a Mukta. We'll see that there there's differences between them, the halacha, different shitas about them, but the idea is that it's the same set of ideas. Something that wasn't miyuchad for use before Shabbos on Shabbos, and now you want to go ahead and use it. So those things, Rav holds his aser, Shmuel holds his mutter. Apparently, we'll see, going in the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about muktzah in general. We'll get to that in a moment. Furthermore, Hanikarche dezuzi, Rav Azar, v'Shmuel Shari. Now, karche dezuzi are a type of container which was basically canvas that was folded up as a pair. That's what's called the zugi, were our interchangeable. And what you do with it is you would put
for boats.
Your boats, exactly.
For boats.
And we know very much about this thing. This is the little thing that you always got to roll up afterwards and make sure it don't get wet and so on. Rashi learns it's talking about things that are used for containers. If you're transporting something on your boat, you unfold this, pull it one side to one side, one side to the other side, and it covers whatever you're transporting so it doesn't get wet. Tosfos learns that it's used for raw transport, like fish and other seafood. And therefore the question over here is muktzah matnas mius, which makes a big nafkamina la halacha when something is disgusting, because we'll see that we want to talk about Shmuel is going to end up contradicting himself according to Shmuel if we don't say that there's a muktzah matnas mius involved, as we'll see. Omer of Nachman, Eiz lechelba, Rachel legizata, Tarnegolet lebeitzata, Veturi de Radia, Vitamri de Iska, Rav Asar, Vishmul Amar Mutar. Now all of these things are things in which something has been set aside for a particular use that is not going to be done on Shabbat. So if an Aze is there because you want it to milk it, a Rachel is there, you're raising it because you want to get its wool. The Tarnagolet is there, you're waiting to collect eggs. The shore is there to do the harisha in your field. The tamarim are here because you're intent to take it to market tomorrow. All of these things are set aside, and you never thought about using them on Shabbat. So Rav Asar v'Shmuel Amar Mutar. It's the same thing. Machlokas being the book to the famous, and it's the first time now that we're meeting this machlokas. We've already met one very important machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about the Malach Shem Zricha Lagufa, Rabbi Yochayim and Potter. Another very fundamental machlokas on Shabbos is whether there's a din of mukta or not on Shabbos. Now, everybody's voted that there's some din of mukta. Mukta is a very, very ancient takana. But the Shailas, Rabbi Yehuda holds of mukta even where it's a passive muktzah. Passive muktzah means that you didn't think of using it, but you didn't set it aside specifically not to use it. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is matir that kind of muktzah, and he only asks a muktzah, which is a very clear cut, setting it away from your mind, so that it's worth a lot of money, you put it away in a closet, you wouldn't touch it unless it looks like a shchita knife, a mila knife, or something that can get ruined. You can have muktzah matnas chisar and kiss, or there could be, again, as we're experimenting here, when you toast the muktzah matnas mius, he's also being matir. But in any event, it's not when we say holds the muktzah, doesn't hold the muktzah, means literally doesn't hold the muktzah at all, but doesn't hold of, which Moses says his mutter is going like Rabbi Shimon, or doesn't hold the muktzah, meaning doesn't hold the muktzah of this type. Now, who Talmud Talmida? The Ori Becharta the Argis, Rabbi Shimon. There was a certain Talmud who gave a horah in the town of Charta that had been built by this famous old sheikh Argis. They have this kever there still today, says Rashi. And he basically was matir muksa like Rabbi Shimon. Shamte Rabbi Amnuna put him into Kher Nidu. I understand. What did he do? I mean, he passed like Rabbi Shimon. You don't put somebody in the needle, he passed like Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Shimon severely, like, that's true. But it was Ba'at to the Rav Havik. You see, Chartid Argus is under Rav jurisdiction. you don't go paskening like Rav Shimon when we know that Rav was asar from all of these other cases and he held of Muktzah. And so Mamela, he shouldn't have done such a thing. Hani Trei Talmide, there were two Talmidim, Chad Matzil B'Chad Mana, V'Chad Matzil B'Arba V'Kamesh Mana, V'Kamifgi B'Kluk to the Rav Barzavda Rebuna. On the topic of Talmidim, who follow different approaches and different scalachas, we'll see much, much later in the Masechta a question of what happens if Chas V'Shalom there's a fire on Shabbat. You need to carry out things into a place where you don't have an Erev. And there's a question of how much you're allowed to carry out. You can carry out three sodas, but Shaila is, if you've got a large container with 100 sodas in it, carry out one large container, as long as it's all included in one large container. And then there's another sheet that holds, you can carry out, as long as it's the same place, multiple containers. Okay, so one did one way, one did the other. There was Machlokas here, Rashi and Tosfos, about the details of what they're arguing on, but I really don't think it's Nogea or Sugya too much. Ein solin basar batzalo beitzar, lekedeshi yitzolo mivod yom. Of course, we had this Sugya earlier, and how did we explain it if it wasn't going with the Yisr of Shvisas Kalim and so on? We said that over here there's another question, the question of whether you're going to be Chote B'Gechalim. So therefore, wherever you have a problem of maybe turning up the fire in your oven, then you have to make sure that the cooking was done before Shabbat. Ein notim pat l'tanur im chashecha, nor can you put in bread to bake into your oven at nightfall for the same reason. V'lo charara agabei gechalim, nor can you put a type of loaf that's cooked directly on the coals. What do they call those, Rish? Bread that you bake on coals directly.
The
Eshtanur is baked on Gechalim.
No,
I'm talking about on Gechalim. I don't know what they call it. I know there's a special word for it. We talked about it back in Brochus. And you need that it should be Yikramu Panami Balgam. You need for it to turn brown, we'll see which side has to turn brown. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kedeshi Yikrom HaTakton Shela, the bottom part, but bottom doesn't necessarily mean bottom, gravitationally bottom. If I mean bottom that's facing the tanur, that we'll see in the Gemara. What's it called?
Could be the outside.
Yeah, we'll see that in the Gemara. Mishal Shalina the Pesach, however, an exception to the rule. So when it comes to your carbon Pesach, you can lower your Pesach into a tanur right at nightfall, wasn't cooked, and you can ma'achizim esa'ur b'mdurat beit hamoked. Furthermore, you can also light the fire in the beit hamoked. We know they used to have a special lishka where they kept the fire going all the time. The kohanim would have very cold toesies because they weren't allowed to have a chatzitza between their feet and the ice-cold floors of the Azorah. So they would have this little warm-up room, which they kept the fire all the time in the Beit HaMokeid. You can light the fire in the Beit HaMokeid, even though it's just Shabbos, and we're not afraid that you're going to blow on it, try to get it going, or maybe relight it if it goes out.
Before Shabbos.
I mean, obviously before Shabbos, but right before Shabbos. We're big vulin, but anyplace else, you would not be allowed to light your fireplace unless there was time, Kedesh Techoza Urburubo. You would need for most of the fire to be caught before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bibichamim, where you're talking about charcoal. Once the charcoal is going, it keeps going. And over there, you don't need Rov, over there, Kol Shavu. Once it starts to burn, charcoal just keeps going. The Kama, what is the shear when we say that you can make sure that it's cooked? I'm sorry I'm doing this, going a little bit ahead. I normally wouldn't, but because there is a very important Brit Mila tomorrow morning, and our dear, wonderful friend, Nuzeda, came all the way from Montreal.
Sponsor of
Kredish Davis of what? The rent from this room. Now you tell everybody. Now you're not going to get any money from anybody. Last day, right. Fine. So because of that, we're going to have a very brief daf tomorrow. I don't want to be mavatzel, but get ahead a little bit so we can finish quickly. So what is the shear when you say it should be cooked? I mean, how cooked? I mean, is it well done? Is it rare? Amar Rav Elazar Amar Rav Kedei Sheyitzolu Miba'od Yom Kema'achal Ben Drusoy. Ben Drusoy was the famous Robin Hood of the time, and they wouldn't have much time to sit there because the cops would be on their heads. I mean, you know, if you're going to make a big barbecue, so they would basically cook only one third of its special. Pretty rare, and that's already considered to be good enough to eat. And if that's done, we're not chayim. And isn't it
eating on their own?
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Eat manam yom ravasi yom rav yochanan koshu kamacha ben rusoi ein ba mishum bishulein nochrim. Anything that had already been cooked up to Makob ben Drusoy, despite the fact that now the maid takes over, whatever, that's no problem. This was already cooked. Tanya Kanani Omer, Koshu Kamakob ben Drusoy, Mutar Lahashoto Agabi Kira, Abba Bishenu Gufa Uktumam. Furthermore, you got a pot that's cooking now. You want to leave it on the fire. You can leave it on the fire. You don't have to have a blech. No problem. Gufa is where you would actually take. In those days, of course, you had a stove that had the flames coming from coal or usually wood. So gurufa is where you actually removed everything. The only thing that's cooking now is the fact that it's a cleanly shown to use the coal. Ktuma is where you would put ash over the flames, put the whole thing out. Over here, you can have a fire on, the pot directly on the fire, but because it's already cooked to Machal Ben Rusai, this crisp will become very important to us as we go through the dinim of Bishul and there are Shabbos, putting things on your oven. Once it's to Machal Ben Rusai, there's no chashash of it continuing to cook through Shabbat. Okay, gentlemen, it's been so much fun. You want to find out about whether it's the top side or the bottom side?
Sure.
Do you?
Yes.
Or you want to just sit there at the edge of your seat so that you come back tomorrow all excited?
Such a short piece.
Let's do it. Ain the thing is about the Bible. Tachton. When you say the bottom, what's the bottom? Again, we're getting into this whole relativistic issue. Bottom. Something's on the side of the tunnel. A guy's in outer space. He's climbing up the side to you. The side. What's the bottom? What's the top? I understand what you're saying. Is the bottom Eich Gabe Tanur? Or is the tachton heich begabei ha'ur? I mean, what are you calling top and bottom? What are you calling top and bottom in this case? What is it facing? Is it facing the tzad of the tanur? Because after all, in a sense, you say that's the bottom because that's what's holding it, you know. I mean, otherwise it would fall into the fire. Or are we calling it whatever is facing down, meaning facing the empty space where the fire is, where the heat is? That's called the tachton. Toshma, Rebbe Eliezer, America, Deshi Yikumu, Panea, Hamadubatim Batanur. The shear over here is to get a browning of the surface which is attached to the oven. Now that is going to take longer. That means that this is a chumrah. It needs to be well enough done that not only the part that's facing the flames is going to be rapidly browned, but even the part that's on the oven itself has to turn brown before Shabbos, or if you to allow it to be
this
on Shabbos.
This is quick. Let me think. I made a little jokes.
This is quick. Look at our matzahs.
No, I understand. But it's
except that our matzahs never get brown, the part that's facing the tanner. That's the problem.
The oven.
Yeah, oven.
It's our problem.
Yeah.
That's part of our matzahs. That's all. The curdled and broth sauce is a little bit.
Yeah, a little different stuff. But it happens.